Praise the Lord, everybody. Mexican, that will preach itself. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's so great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If we could turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 22, and we'll start with verse 7. While you're getting there, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming out on midweek. Everybody shout, midweek matters. Midweek matters. Thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity. He's over there at the town hall trying to get some stuff squared away for our daycare. Praise the Lord. We need that. Give honor to my beautiful wife and my soon-to-be little girl, Vivian. Little Vivi, almost here. Short few months. If you're there, say amen. If you don't have a Bible, see someone after church and they'll make sure you have one. Starts verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, and the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us in the Passover, that ye may eat. And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him in the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And 14. And when the hour hath cometh, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should account the greatest. And he said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they shall not exercise authority upon them. They are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth serve." 27, "For whatever is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I among you as he that serveth? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." And verse 30, "That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." I'll read that one more time. "That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on my thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." With the help of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to preach to you on this simple thought. Whose table are you sitting at? If we can close our eyes and bow our heads. Lord, we come before you today with a humble heart. Lord, we're just a willing vessel. Come sweep into this house, sweep into our minds, sweep into our hearts today, Jesus, that we may see what you have prepared before us today, that you have prepared before this church today, God. Lord, let us leave different than what we came in. Let us lay every sin at this altar today, God. Lord, we give you the praise, glory, and honor for everything you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Whose table are you sitting at? You may be seated. As recorded in Luke 22, as we just read, Jesus had asked Peter and John to prepare a large upper room for this important occasion. This was just not any meal. It was the Passover feast, which, with history and meaning, the Passover table was a reminder of the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, a symbol of God's provision and grace. In 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 25, Paul reminds us, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my body. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" In this passage of Scripture, we witness the Last Supper of Jesus with his disciples, a powerful moment that embodies not just the institution of communion, but a profound lesson in servanthood, humanity, and choices we make regarding the tables we choose to sit at. Whose table are you sitting at today, church? We must recognize the significance of the table we choose. Tables are not just furniture. They are places of fellowship, communion, and decisions that shape our lives and our destinies. At this table, we find not just bread and wine, but a covenant of love, a promise of salvation and restoration. The act of coming to the Lord's table, it is an invitation to remember who he is and what he has done for each of us. In a world filled with distractions, temptations, and various ideologies, we must ask ourselves whether we are seated at the table of the Lord or sitting at the table that leads us astray. We must see right here in this passage of Scripture, the Last Supper is beginning to unfold. The Lord asks a question: "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you that he that serveth." The Lord has called us to serve, church. As Jesus reclined at the table with his disciples, he also demonstrated what it truly means to serve. And in John 13, 12 through 15, we find that, "So after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garments, and he went down again, and he sat down again, he said unto them, 'Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Here, Jesus redefined greatness through humility and service. To sit at the Lord's table means to embrace the heart of a servant. Church, are we placing ourselves at the Lord's table with a willingness to serve others as he served us? Are we sitting at a table where God has placed us at, or are we sitting at a table where we put ourselves at? Let us consider the potential distractions of other tables. There are other tables in this world. There's tables that entice us with fleeting pleasures, temptations, and distractions. These are the tables of sin, pride, selfish ambition. In contrast to the table of the Lord, these tables may feel appealing, but they lead us away from where the essence of which Christ has called us to be. We read about the story of a man paralyzed in Mark 2. "And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, as he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto them, him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when he was broken it, they let him down the roof. Today, church, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." A man paralyzed and his friends helping him out to see the master, but it's so packed they had to go through they couldn't even get through the crowd. I want to sit at that table where when I'm down, I got a group of friends that will carry me up, that will break open the roof and lower me down to see the master. We know the story about the three Hebrew boys, boys who wouldn't bow to any graven image or to a statue. When the fire came and the trials came, I want to sit at a table where there are people who won't bow to any graven image, people who won't back down. Are you seated among those who encourage you to not bow to the pleasures of this world? Or are you seated at the table where the voices of this world draws us, fills us with deception and turmoil? We are faced with a choice. We will sit at a table of the Lord or allow the enemy to creep at our tables, to devour us with temptations. Let us consider this potential distraction of our tables. There are many tables in this world today, tables that entice us with fleeting pleasures and temptations and distractions, tables of sin and pride. In contrast to the table of the Lord, these tables may feel appealing, but they lead us away from what is essential to God. When we had the opportunity to take the youth to HYC this year, the morning speaker was an international missionary. Can't say her name. She was telling us a story about how they had it. They were about the youth saw on social media about they pretty much are HYC, but they wanted to have a youth service there where they were in that country. And so the missionary called her, and she was like, "Yeah, I'll come preach it." Well, they started scouting out the area because it couldn't be an area where they should be at. And the main missionary looked over and said, "Look, 20 miles. There's a terrorist group over there." And she was like, "Oh, are you serious?" He goes, "Yes." And he goes, "Look, about 20 miles the other way, there's another terrorist group." And so they had to be quiet as much as they could, but, you know, as Pentecostals, we like to get down and crazy. They began to have service. They began to sing songs and praise God. And during that youth service, the speaker noticed some young kids that were part of the terrorist group. And she was giving her whole heart out, telling us this story. And they were about 16 years old, four of them, that were part of this terrorist group. And she didn't know what to do. She just said, "Let's keep on praising the Lord. Let's just keep singing." And then it was her time to get up there and preach. And she started to ask the Lord, "What do you want me to speak on?" And she just said, "Speak about the love of me, the love of God. To speak about me and my love." So she began to preach. She began to talk. You know, we all back up the preacher and everything. And those kids are just sitting there, look like they're demon-possessed. And she gives an altar call. And the music is playing softly, and she says, "If you want to know the true love of God, just come to this altar and lift up your hands." And before you know it, those four 16-year-old boys that were part of that terrorist group were lifting up their hands and surrendering their lives to the Lord. And they begin to cry and weep. And the next thing you know, they begin to speak in tongues. But you know, the Lord is so awesome, so gracious. They begin to speak in tongues in English. And so what she was hearing, what they were saying was, Lord, I don't know you, but I love you and I want more of you. And they just began to speak out in English and tongues. And the Lord just began to work in that service. And they hurry up and had service. Those boys were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And they had to hurry up and close down because, you know, police started to catch on what they were doing. But I've come to tonight on assignment that whose table are you at? The table of this world has nothing for you. It has nothing to offer. But the ones that the world of this of the Lord is being, But the ones that the world of the Lord is being broken, that's where I get my strength. That's where I get my healing, is at the table of the Lord. That's where I get my confidence and my wisdom, is at the table of the Lord. You want to know who's going to see revival? Do you want to know who's going to see the face of God? You want to know who's going to experience the touch of the Lord and his mighty hand? Do you want to know who's going to see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Is the ones who are at the master's table. It's the ones who say, I can't do it at the front door, but I'm going to cut a hole in the roof. I'm going to lay my friend down to Jesus. It's the ones who say, I can't see with my eyes, but I'll cry out with my voice instead. All those who are going to see revival are those that are willing to do whatever it takes. It's those that have settled in their mind, their soul. No matter what it takes from me, I'm going to see it. No matter what I've got to pray, I'm going to see it. No matter what I've got to do, I'm going to see it. No matter what I've got to sacrifice, I'm going to see the face of God. Whatever it takes, if I've got to cut a hole in the roof, whatever it takes. If I've got to climb the mountain, whatever it takes. I've got to shout when everything goes down. When I'm in the valley, I'm going to shout. When I'm on the mountaintop, I'm going to shout. Sometimes people may tell me to shut up, but whatever it takes, I'm going to do what the Lord has called me to do. The table is where we eat bread and have communion. At our old church, we used to do communion, and it was a special service. It was such a powerful service. We had little crackers and a bottle of grape juice. And the pastor began to preach and talk about this blood is for him. We do it in remembrance. Let me read the passage of Scripture. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and break it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. If we could all stand. At the Last Supper, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And the bread we break and do it in remembrance of me. Whose table are you sitting at tonight, church? A table that there's backbiting, talking about one another? Or are we sitting at a table teaching a Bible study to a drunk? Are we sitting at a table that we're telling dirty jokes? Or are we sitting at a table talking about the love of God? We need to choose our tables wisely today, church. I know this is short and sweet and to the point, but whose table are you sitting at today, church? These altars are open today. If they could play this song softly, let us close our eyes and lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the table that you have prepared before us today, God. Lord, let us not surrender to this world. Let us sup at your kingdom, at your table today, God. Lord, we praise you and we give you honor.